Well, as we continue on in our series, Find Strength in God, which I think I'm going to close up for next week, and we'll begin something new in June, but I'm looking at two passages. There's still hundreds of passages on the strength of God, but today I want us to focus on how we're going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible with you, pick up the red Bible in the pew rack right in front of you, and you can turn to page 849, and we'll be right there. Just a little over a week ago, we were at a graduation in Virginia, as I'd mentioned last week, and got to hear some commencement speakers on that particular day. And as high schools and colleges across the nation are having commencement speakers, you hear a lot of different things. Some are memorable, most are not, unfortunately. But let me give you a few quotes from some people who have given commencement speeches and what they've said. Michael Dell, who is the founder of Dell Computers, said this in a commencement speech several years ago. As you start your journey, the first thing you should do is throw away that store-bought map and begin to draw your own. Some wisdom there. Lewis Black, who's a comedian and a playwright, he said this to a group. He said, pursue whatever it is that you want to do with your life. It is the only secret to happiness that I know, except for maybe true love. That, and maybe an amazing health insurance plan that our congresspeople have. That would be good. You know, there are various things that people will say that are the most important things in life. It was back in 1908 that an Episcopalian minister was speaking to a group of Olympic athletes before the Games. And since that speech, they captured some of his words and put it into a creed for the Olympics. This is what he said was the most important. He said, the most important thing in the Olympic Games is not to win, but to take part. Just as the most important thing in life is not the triumph, but the struggle. The essential things is not to have conquered, but to have fought well. I don't know if that's true or not, but I guess it made some of the Olympics, some of the Olympic athletes feel better because there's only one winner when it gets down to it. If you asked Audrey Hepburn what's the most important thing in life, this is what she said. The most important thing is to enjoy your life, to be happy. That's all that matters. Any Swifties here today? Do you know what a Swiftie is? Raise your hand if you know what a Swiftie is. All 12 of you. Okay. Taylor Swift. If you follow Taylor Swift, if you like Taylor Swift, you're a Swiftie. And I am not a Swiftie, but what does she have to say to this current generation about what's the best? She says, I think the most important thing in life is to dance to the beat of your own drum and to look like you're having more fun than the people who are cool. Okay. So what is the most important thing in life? If you were chosen to give a graduation commencement speech to a bunch of graduates, if you were asked to stand up in front of a group of people who were kind of seeking their way, what's the purpose of life, what would you say? What is the most important thing? What should we be able to go back to in our thoughts as things get hard or directions get confusing? You know, back in the 1600s, the theologians gathered together some thoughts for people to memorize called the Shorter Catechism, the Westminster Shorter Catechism. If you want to know all of the words of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, ask Brian Hom. He's memorized it, or he's on the pursuit of memorizing all that for his own schooling. The very first of the question and answers is, what is the chief end of man? Brian, I will quiz you here in public. You can actually get the microphone so we can all hear you, because we're going to prove that you do know some of it. Just grab this mic, okay? He has been taking final exams for Reformed Theological Seminary, and one of his assignments is to memorize the entire Westminster Shorter Catechism. And if you knew how lengthy that was, how many questions are in that, by the way?
I think over 100.
Over 100 questions and answers, and he has to have it word perfect. All right, so we're just going to challenge him on the first one. Dr. Kim, you know this one, the Westminster Shorter Catechism.
All right. I'm passing it on to you.
Yeah, no, that's just, he's already got his PhD, brother.
Totally kidding.
All right. So what is the first question, and then give us the answer to that question.
What is the chief end of man? And I don't know the, no, I'm kidding. it is to enjoy God and glorify him forever.
Yes.
I might have missed.
You flipped the way.
To glorify God and enjoy him forever.
To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Thank you. I won't quiz you. Do you, you know, I could ask you what was number 57, what's 72. Okay, no. That's what his professors do to him. But they took basically the thought of what our life is about, and they put it right in number one. And this is a catechism. This is what they would ask children to memorize. Ask them questions and give them a specific answer so they would have something in their heart and mind to fall back on. Why is it you exist? What is your chief purpose, the chief end of man? Why did God create you? Now, it's fascinating. It's one question, but it appears to have two answers. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God. And you would think you would put a period at the end of that. But it has a combination here. It says, and enjoy him forever. I personally agree with John Piper, who says he doesn't believe it's two answers. Because the question was one singular question. What is the chief? Not as what are the chiefs. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God. And Piper says, you change the word and to by, and then it becomes to glorify God by enjoying him forever. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. When our love for him far exceeds our love for anything else. That we glorify him when we see that we can enjoy him as the all-pursuing essence of life. That he is our source of happiness. He is our source of strength. He is our source of purpose. That we live and move and have our being in him alone. That's what we need. So the question today is, we're going to go back to Jesus' words, not just some theologians from the 1600s. What are Jesus' words, and how are we fulfilling that? We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. That is our primary purpose. If you look in the context here in Matthew or Mark chapter 12, and actually I'm going to ask Barnabas, would you run back there to the secret stash of waters and get me one, please? I just showed him where that was the other day, so he'll, oh, we have a secret stash right here in the front row. Oh, and this is more expensive water than what I have back there. How many of you are afraid of public speaking? When they poll people, they find that people are more afraid of public speaking than death. They would rather die than stand up here. And sometimes it's because of things like this. When things don't go exactly like you plan. Well, years ago I learned that if it was all about me, I would have much to worry about. But it's about God, and I'm just a servant. And when things don't go according to my plan, it's okay. God knows. You know, so I'll just trust him, and I'll stand up here and speak what he has to say from his word. So I want you to look at the context here. I want you to go back to verse 28 if you're in Mark chapter 12. And one of the scribes, a Jewish man who was a follower of God, was talking to Jesus. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that that he answered them well, he asked him. So the scribe wants to know from Jesus. He says, what commandment is the most important of all? Basically, can you capture a commencement speech for me? Can you just tell me the essence of why I'm here? What's the most important to follow? Because certainly as a scribe, he knew the Old Testament law well. So Jesus answered, the most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is as much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. This captures, in the essence, the entire law and the prophets. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It is interesting that just similar to the Westminster Catechism that asked for one question, and it appears to have two answers. This individual, the scribe, was asking Jesus one question. What is the greatest commandment? Not, hey, can you give me the top two? He says, what is the greatest commandment? But Jesus gave him two answers. You're going to love God, and you're going to love other people. Perhaps we could put a buy in that as well. We love God in addition to worshiping and praying, by loving other people as God loves them through our lives. Something to consider, that it's not one or the other, that both are the greatest commandment. Now, you notice when Jesus starts his answer, he says, oh, hear, O Israel. Immediately the scribe would have known, oh, he's quoting from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is known as the Shema. I'd mentioned this last week when we did this parent-child dedication, because it speaks about what you're supposed to do with your children. You're supposed to teach them these truths about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, and you're going to teach this as you walk along the road, as you sit down, as you get up and walk. You're going to have it on the doorpost. You're going to have it everywhere. Jesus begins to quote directly from the Old Testament, the Shema. Shema in Hebrew is to hear. That's why it's known as to hear or to listen to what is the most important. So all the way back in Moses' day, as Moses penned these words that God gave him, Jesus goes back to that and says, if you don't know, scribe, what's the most important, you haven't listened from all of time. This Shema is the centerpiece of the daily morning and evening prayer services for the Jewish people still today. That they consider it's considered by some the most essential prayer in all of Judaism, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to teach them diligently to our children. So Jesus is reminding the scribes of the most important pursuit of all. And I don't believe Jesus would change his answer for us today about what's most important for you and I. For the graduates here, For us who are younger or those who are older, it's the same pursuit. I'm going to call this today the graduate level of life. Jesus is calling us to a graduate level pursuit of life. And it's as simple as these two words. Would you say them out loud? Love God. When you love God, you have all that you need. In verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's an emotional pursuit. With all your soul, a spiritual pursuit. With your mind, it's an intellectual pursuit. This is where it gets frustrating to me when people say if you follow Christ, you check your brain at the door. You can no longer think. I'm thinking, no, Christians ought to be the most intellectually pursuing people on the planet. Because we understand that our brain has been given to us by a sovereign, holy God who wants to expand our thoughts to understand the world that he created and to see it through his lens with high intellect. I'm thankful for believers who go all out to seek the highest degrees so they have the greatest influence in their field for the glory of God. You realize language is a gift from God. You know, we have words that we say, and it's amazing. God was so creative, he created thousands of languages. When they wanted to have one language with the Tower of Babel, God says, no, I'm much more creative than that. You're going to fill the whole earth, and we're going to have multiple languages, and in all the tongues, we're going to have praise to me. Now, you think about language. We dumb down language so much. We sound unintellectual when all we know are four-letter words. We have a base language or how we interact with one another. When God gave us the ability to speak and to expand our vocabulary, it's so that we have a broader range to be able to communicate his truths to the masses. Yes, we simplify where need be, but we also ought to go to the heights of what God has allowed us in language. It is an intellectual pursuit. Not only, but it certainly ought to be baptizing our brains into the knowledge, because all truth is God's truth. So don't take the world's position of Christians saying they're ignorant, they're stupid, they don't know anything. Because Christians ought to be the smartest people on the planet. We're not smart because we know God. No, God opened our minds so that we would know him. But he lets us open our minds to know him so that we can pursue all knowledge of him in whatever field he leads us to. So we pursue him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. It's a physical pursuit. Everything that we've got ought to be given to him. When was the last time you did something that required all of your strength, where you were absolutely spent, exhausted at the end of the activity? Perhaps it could have been this last week. I don't know. I just mowed the lawn. I was tired the other day. You know, think about the times, maybe when you were younger, when you had all this energy and you gave it all, and when you got to the end of your day, you had nothing left. When was the last time you gave that type of strength in pursuing God? Whatever he desired for you to do, whatever pursuit he had you on, whatever track it was, you knew you were doing it for the glory of God. If you want to experience giving your all from sunup to sundown for the glory of God, go to youth camp or children's camp for a week. By the end of the week, you'll be exhausted and want to sleep for another 7 days. You know, but when you give all for the glory of God, I'm thankful for the missionaries around the planet who give it all. They're not on vacation. They give every ounce of their being to the mission of God. Athletes compete for the gold and the silver or the bronze or even just simply a PR, a personal record. Maybe they know they'll never receive a gold or a silver or a bronze, but they know they want to be a little better than they personally have done in the past. Strength implies the intensity or the ongoing concentration with sustained effort. That is a way to love God, because it's the most important thing that we can do. Throughout the Bible, there are many references to pursuing God in love, loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. There are references of love on how we're supposed to love other people. There are many references to how God's love pursues his people. There are about 50 passages that talk about us and our response, loving him. And all these passages reveal that to love God takes all of our strength. It's not easy. You think, it's not easy to love God? When we are still fighting our own personal preferences and our sinful nature, I'm thankful that God, when he saves us, gives us a Holy Spirit to reside within us, that gives us the ability, the enabling to love him. and to love the things that he loves. But while we're in this body, on this planet, we still have a sinful nature that does not pursue the things of God. Quite frankly, we're pretty fleshly. We like what we like. And there's warnings in the New Testament about this.